Welcome to Sensibly Cynical. My name is Sean, and we have a very special guest for you today, comedian Austin Mann. How you doing, Austin?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. It's, good weather here in the Panhandle, so...
Been a real nice fall so far.
Okay, so when did you start in comedy, and...
I started 10 years ago. I started in March of 2009 in Tallahassee, and... I just started just doing open mics, and we used to have a comedy zone club here, and we do shows there, and that's sort of how I got started into it. I had a friend who invited me out to his open mic to tell me, tell some jokes, and him and lots of other people did very badly, but they lived. They didn't die or nothing from it, so I was like, oh, I can do that. I can go up there and not die for 5 minutes, maybe.
Right, so you would go from, what you're saying is you would go from club to club. Like, how old were you then, or when did you start that? How, what are we talking about, like early 2000s, or?
Yeah, so in 2009, I got my start when I was 23, right. Or actually 22, and so we mostly just had open mics, and we had a club, which we would just have regular mics there, or you could earn a chance to do guest spots on the booked nights with the headliners and features, or even host, which is what I was getting my start at doing. And then eventually, as a couple of years started going, I started just traveling more, making connections with other comedy scenes, Pensacola, Panama City, Mobile, Jacksonville, Atlanta, Orlando, Tampa, just like Cocoa Beach, all of these places where can I go to tell jokes? And that's sort of how it all started. And then getting seen by the right people and auditioning for a couple things got me started working with clubs, so it's outside of showcases.
Right, so Frank and I saw you in Pensacola not too long ago. I don't know if you remember, we were the two guys, I think you did a short one-liner about us.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Maybe that was you, but yeah, we got a good view, and I was like, you know what, I want this guy on our podcast. You know, it seems like an interesting story behind him. So I appreciate you getting up in the morning to do this.
Yeah, always, man. I actually have a new baby, my third kid, so yeah. I've been up for hours.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any kids, but I've heard rumors about sleep deprivation.
Yeah, I gotta get my naps in when I can.
You can say those are factual, right? Factual.
Yeah, absolutely. At least at first, for sure.
Okay. Where do you tour? Are you strictly Panhandle, or do you go across the country, or?
Well, I have performed, as far up as like New York City,
yeah.
And I think I really only have gone as far west as Louisiana because of my kid situation and stuff. I mostly just traveled the southeast. I would say from North Carolina all the way down to South Florida, and then just in our general area. Then right. I hit up showcases, and I work with a couple of different comedy clubs that have Comedy Zone Bonkers, sure. And other just like one-nighter clubs throughout Florida.
Yeah.
And so I mostly do that. Right now, I've been touring the summer by myself, but I'm working with two other comedians, and we are actually, we call ourselves Dad's Joke, because we're dads who joke.
I got it, yeah.
Yeah, so there's three of us, ranging from our like late 20s to early 30s, and we have 8 kids between us.
Jeez.
Yeah, so we are just kind of come from that perspective, and we've been touring with that. We were in Panama City. Uh-huh. We have a show in Pensacola coming up on the 26th that Cast Can Fight.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Love to check it out.
Yeah, man, we're really excited. It's a good spot. And then we're even doing the Boston Mini Marathon in Boston, Georgia on the day before that on the 25th.
You said Boston, Georgia? I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Oh, man, Boston. I mean, Georgia loves naming their cities after other cities.
Sure.
Even Tallahassee, Georgia, man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no lie, man. You'll be hearing weird city names when you go throughout the South, so.
Oh, yeah.
I get it. One thing that you said that caught my caught my eye, I guess, was when you said you went through Cocoa Beach. That's where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
So did you go through the Space Coast a lot, or was that just one stop, like in Cocoa Beach? Because that's basically where I'm from. So, do you hit that a lot, or was that just a one-stop thing?
I've hit it several times over the years. There have been a couple of clubs that have tried to set up through Cocoa Beach. So I've been in Daytona area often, and then a couple of, there's showcases like in Melbourne.
Yeah, area. That's exactly where I'm from. Yeah. Titusville. I don't know if you know where that is, but that's right by it.
So. Yeah, there's a place called Open Mics. I don't know if you've ever heard of Open Mics.
Where's that, Melbourne?
Yeah, it's in Melbourne area, and they have it's a really cool hip coffee shop that has a great stage. And
okay, well, I'll pass that along to my my hometown friends. I'll tell them to make the drive out there.
Yeah, it's a comedy show once a week, I think, or a month.
So. Yeah, as funny as I'm actually from the same hometown as Daniel Tosh.
That's another Florida boy.
Yeah, we actually went to the same high school, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool, man.
I was saying on the podcast not too long ago, I got a funny story. So I was saying on the podcast not too long ago that he tried to put an ad in Titusville, and the Titusville City Council said, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. So that was pretty funny.
I guess
the city doesn't agree with his crude humor, which is pretty funny.
I suppose there's one way to
But you know how those guys can be, though, you know, but... those city people, they can be a little rough on the comedian sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, I think we all have different goals, and it's trying to match all of our goals, like the right comedian with the right area for what they're looking for. That's one of the things, is comedy is so broad that depending on what you're looking for, you can find that style of comedian. So if you wanted somebody a little rougher, somebody who's going to push some buttons, there's definitely an audience for that. But if you're also looking for somebody family friendly, or, you know, just somebody who is more progressive, there's always options. I think that's what's important, to not fault the city, but just be like, hey, sometimes it doesn't work out for me particularly, but there's always going to be another comedian out there who could do it too. We got to support each other. So.
Right. Speaking of your experiences, you got a funny story that you can share with our audience? Anything that you think share? Funniest experience?
It's kind of funny now, that it happened. But the most recent crazy thing that happened to me was with my first show with Dad's Joke. We were in Panama City at this really interesting, cool room, and the show's going pretty well. And then I get on stage, and about 45 seconds into my set, before I can even finish my first joke, a lady starts ODing in the audience.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Straight up. It was very intense. So it's only funny now. She's fine. Sure. I'll go ahead and say that now so we can laugh about it.
Right. It's a serious matter, you know. But
but we didn't know what was going on. And I used to be a caregiver, so immediately jump off of stage, and we have to help her. The ambulance come. Found out that she was a nurse herself, and she had just taken benzos and started drinking at the show. And
for a while.
And so it was a pretty scary experience. But the worst part about it, and including her OD, was how many different audience members that came up to me afterwards telling me how I killed it.
Well,
I'm like, you're just knocking them dead up there. And I'm like, I didn't even get to my punchline.
Yeah. Well,
I think everyone was trying to break the tension.
Well, yeah, word usage and, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's pretty good.
But yeah, man, you seem really, really cool, man. I saw you live, and then I saw that you had some YouTube clips from 2013.
When I first was getting my start into professional comedy more, I wanted to put up a video, something that you could just look up if you're just looking me up to get a good idea of the kind of comedy I do. But yeah, you're right, it's out of date. So I have other videos that I share for like submissions and stuff, but I personally don't create like a lot of YouTube content. It's just especially with the meme age and with everything else, anything could just be like ripped from my set. So I kind of until I'm famous, let's just say, I get a CD out with my name on it, I usually just like keep my videos a little bit lower, and then I just like go out, and I've gotten most of my gigs through word of mouth, like going somewhere and performing, and they're like, that was good. And I'm like, absolutely.
Were you the flyer type? Like, you put flyers out, or no? That's like old. That's too old medium, I guess. It's more of a Facebook thing now, right?
You know, and I'm a showrunner too. I've been running a show for over 6 years in Tallahassee. I book out of towners as well. It's a once a month showcase called the Tallahassee Comedy Showcase. And flyers used to be a big thing, but honestly, they don't really even do much. I know a lot of really big showrunners that run multiple shows, and they don't even, they don't put flyers, they don't promote on Facebook.
Well,
because a lot of that isn't much, it's word of mouth that's really been getting everybody.
Well, yes, funny story on the whole flyer thing is, when I, well, I would say I was early 20s, me and my buddies would go to like a local wrestling show. And they, I would see flyers from all these wrestling guys trying, like that morning, you know, they'll get them in the morning or whatever. And I just, I remember laughing my ass off like that. Like, they really think that's going to fucking work. Like, I get your point. I mean.
Yeah, it just depends on like where you're putting it up. I mean, if you've got to think about where are the places that I'm normally going to put it. In the middle of the street on a sign, somebody might, let's say, one out of 250 people walk by that sign might look at it and try to remember the date. You might put it up at a local shop that lets you put up flyers, but then how many different flyers also have something going on at the same day, probably, or the same weekend? And so it becomes, what am I doing it? And if we're going to be young and millennials, why am I wasting the paper, honestly?
Well, that's a good point. You know, recycling and everything,
Yeah. So if we're in the digital age, everyone's looking at their phone. Chances are, as they walk down the street, they look at that pole. Are they really looking at the pole, or are they looking at their phone? And if I'm looking at their phone, so that's when maybe taking ads out on Facebook. If you have the, if you have like a regular show that's always going to be on these days, then you could, put out spend $15 every month. Just to, so at least you're still getting that traffic. They visualized it, but whether or not they choose to do it, it depends on who's coming, who, if they know anybody involved, or what else is going on that week in town. So that's why word of mouth is so good, because they're like, oh, my buddy's going to this show, or he's on it, or we're gonna do the open mic after, and then that sort of, it was like, oh, I've been here before, and I brought my friend this time.
Yeah,
and then that's sort of how it goes.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Obviously, you know who Seinfeld is, but I was watching Netflix with Seinfeld and Rogan, and it was hilarious. Like, so Seinfeld was trying to be serious. I don't know if you've seen his show on there. It was like comedians in car getting coffee.
Oh yeah, I love it. It's a good show.
Yeah, so you probably know the scene I'm talking about. When he goes, or one of the scenes, he goes, well, how'd you get your start? And then Rogan was just like, well, shit, dude, I just, like, started, like, I just started, like, you know, just going around, and I finally got noticed, you know? I mean, and the same thing, Iglesias has said the same thing, Fluffy, he said the same thing. He's like, that's how it is, I guess, even back then, you know, but.
It's actually been changing. That's,
really?
Yeah, so, like, I started 10 years ago, before. You know, in 2009, I think, is when they even launched Facebook, in 2008, 2009. So social media, you know, you had to be a college.
Well, had it in 2006, but yeah, right around the same time.
Oh, was it? Was it that? Actually, you know, there I am, not sure. I didn't know that was MySpace or not.
No, but, well, that transition, well, I only know because I graduated high school in 2005. Right,
gotcha.
Right toward the end of the MySpace era. But man, I hooked up with so many chicks, bro, because of MySpace. That shit was the chick getter, man. But that's how I remember. No, man, people hooked up so many times on MySpace. But then I knew that died right when I got a senior in high school, because less chicks were on it.
So
I was like, I think it became more of a music venture, you know, with Timberlake and everything. But,
yeah, I like the music thing. I had a band many, many years ago, and we totally used MySpace to help promote ourselves and stuff like that. But yeah, it's definitely changed now because of everything the way it is. Now you don't even have to be a comedian. You just have to be popular or famous.
Right.
And then comedy clubs will book you. Like, I saw in South Florida, Angry Short Bagel Guy was going to headline a comedy club. And I'm like, yeah, and that guy's not even a comedian. It's just he has this, people will go to see him because of his thing. So that's why you've started to see, instead of, for example, the person who plays Southern Mama, he's a comedian, he does YouTube videos, and I don't believe he was really out there at clubs as much before he got famous. It was after his Southern Mama videos that he was able to start booking himself at these comedy clubs and start headlining. So, and I could totally understand where clubs come from, because they want bringers. They want your name to do something. But it's just, so you either have these famous people who are coming through because of it, or the guys who have
fucking grinded for more than a decade.
Yeah, that's the road dogs. That's what they call me. It's somebody who's, I did guest spots with the club, I hosted for the club, I featured for the club, and now I headline for the club, and it took 10 years.
Yeah, so. But then because I understand what you're coming from, but, you know, I think you're the third comedian we've had on this podcast, and, you know, one guy was telling me, his name's Raj Sharma, and he was telling me that he knew some people that made it on the AGT, America's Got Talent.
So yeah.
Obviously, I know that's stage as far as getting on. You got to know, you know, obviously, everyone knows that. You got to know someone, you know, all that. I don't, you've obviously seen the show, right?
And, you know, I have friends who have performed. Oh, so you can probably... I used to work with Preacher Lawson a lot in Orlando. We used to work for the same clubs.
So you probably... So you're probably gonna echo the same sentiments as him. That whole footage of everyone in line—that's a bunch of shit, right? It's who you know.
I don't want to say that it's absolute shit, but I will say that America's Got Talent does scout, especially now.
I mean, saying that on a podcast. I mean, everyone knows this. You know, I mean, it's like calling the pot kettle. You know, people know.
Yeah. You gotta scout for your talent, because. You know, because you think about, if you're going through all those times, they've learned through, you know, American Idol and all of these other competitions, that line thing, you're just going to get a lot of people who just want to be on there for 2 seconds. And you do need a couple of those people who are just going to bomb real quick, so we can get those X's and be like, boo, get off stage. But it's mostly... And it's really in American television, too.
Right.
But like, you need a story to go along with your act.
Right. It's like the comedians never win. They use them for the meat of the show, to get toward the end.
Yeah, because they're funny and they're entertaining. And, you know, so are all the other people. But sometimes I feel like the other acts are like, I can do this same thing, but just do a different song, maybe.
Right. Like,
you know, it's just different styles of art, you know.
Right. There was one guy on there. I forgot his name. I probably should have looked up his name before I got on here with you. But Kevin something, he would just deadpan, monotone. And, you know, once again, he was a grinder. Well, he said he was a grinder, but, you know, who knows. But I see what you're saying on that. You know, I'm a big comedian guy. You know, obviously I've only done it once and I totally bombed, but... It kind of got me intrigued. I was like, you know, since I have my own podcast, I mean, shit, and I like comedy, I might as well try to get as many comedians on here as possible, because I'm intrigued by the story. It's a good story.
Absolutely,
to talk to these
that
people.
Totally makes sense. What kind of comedy do you particularly like?
Well, I like the stuff that's outside the box. You know, everyone does the, you know, some people do mom, dad jokes or whatever. Mm-hmm. Tosh does the throw up, and he has the aid of television, you know, so he can do that shit.
Mm-hmm. You
know? And there's people like that do the internet clips and stuff. I think that, I don't know, I get tired of that shit, like ridiculousness. I mean, that gets old. I like the ones that tell a story, but they tell a story that has some bits of humor involved in the story. That way, when they do the punchline, it makes the whole story come together. It can be about fucking anything, but as long as there's it's like an essay. You know, I hate to compare it to an essay, but it is. You know, you start, the middle. I don't know if you've heard it like that, but that's just an analogy I've came up with. It's just a comedic essay. You know, the 5 paragraph. You know, you have your beginning, the background, how, you know, what the fuck happened. Okay, this is why it happened. And then you say some fucking, in line.
Yeah, man. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of good storytellers out there, and joke writers, and they all, especially you're saying with the deadpan person. And sometimes one of the great things about comedy is what makes everybody's, like, unique. Like you said, like the style of comedy you like versus the style of comedy that your old hometown would prefer. And it's great because there's just always that option to go do that. That's what's so great about comedy. Is that, like, there's a little bit for everybody, for someone. So, just depending on what you're into.
Yeah, I mean, Tosh, I think, I don't know the guy personally, but I just, from what I hear, he's kind of an asshole. But, because he said on his show that, oh yeah, I'm never going to go back to UCF, is where he went to school at Central Florida. And he's, and then, of course, magically, like 2 years later, and luckily enough, I was a junior, so I got to see him. But I'm like, this motherfucker sold out for at least a grand, or at least a million. You know, but I'm like, well, everyone sells out for money, but it's like, damn, you know, but
yeah, I mean, I'd sell out for money. Yeah. I've got three kids, man.
But he talks shit about our high school, like on air. That's probably why they said no. The city said no. I mean, the rap, that story, he basically like, who the fuck is that? I went to Ashley. He said some one liner about our high school. I'm like, yeah, bro, you want to come back? Get the fuck out of here. You know,
that's funny. That's what I'm saying. We all are real open until somebody says something that hits close to our home.
Right. It's not like you're on national TV or anything talking shit about your city and then you want to come back. It's like, but anyways, that's a pretty funny story. Anyways, I know we talked a little bit off air. You said you're born and raised in Tallahassee. Is that correct?
Well, born and raised in Florida. I was born in Orlando. I lived in St. Augustine.
Oh, Orlando. Okay. That's where I'm, obviously UCF. That's where I went to school. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. But I've been living, in Tallahassee for over 20 years though. Yeah. So we're the same age, though. So I'm 33 now.
Yeah. I'm turning, don't rush me. I'm 30. I still got a couple months left.
Yeah. We're getting there.
I'm 36 babies. Yeah. I'm 33 and, in January, so.
Oh, okay. Oh, 87. You scraped through.
Yeah. I barely made the 2005 class. But, yeah, man, we're actually planning on, me and a couple buddies, I think we're going to do the road trip to New Orleans for the I'm going to call it the one-third a century birthday.
Man, I went one time to New Orleans on my birthday, and I performed at the House of Blues.
Yeah.
I had probably the second, if not worst, set that I've ever had in my life. I just went there to bomb totally, and I was like telling this, I think you remember that I tell this joke towards the end of my set about camping in the woods.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I was telling that joke, but I was still kind of new with it, and I used the audience members a lot more than I do now, and I had, like, we're using these two guys as a scenario.
Right.
Man, this joke was just not hitting, and these guys weren't into it at all, and so I just literally stopped the joke in the middle of it, because I was like, I should probably stop telling that, and then the guy looks at me, he's like, no, continue, and I'm like, well, I'm definitely not going to continue now. Now that you gave me permission to just kill myself in front of everybody, so I just, like, got drinks on Bourbon Street, found a place that served a hot dog on a hamburger, and I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, that show I saw you, back to that show, to be honest, man, I think it was, you were clearly the best one, and I think the guy, I don't know the names, obviously, besides you, but the guy, because I was told that you were the headliner, which you were, but the guy before you was pretty good, too. Do you know his name?
Yeah, there's a lot of, but you know, you have to think about, there's a lot of different levels. I definitely have been doing comedy more than anybody else that was on that stage that night.
Shizuka or whatever, you know, it's a hole in the wall, you know.
I mean, but it's just mostly because, you know, I stay in Tallahassee and I live here and this is my home, so I'm not, like, moving to other places. But there's a lot of great comedians that, like, you know, I live here and I'm just going to work in my area. And so sometimes that happens, but it's just experience. They were all really... really talented.
Well, they're eager too. I could tell that the energy was high.
The person, my feature, he was from Orlando actually. He was traveling as well, and he's got family in the area. He comes to Tallahassee a lot as well, and Panama City, I believe, too. But you know, he's only a couple of years in, so he's still fresh. He's in the position where I was around his time, where he's like, we work for the same club, so he'll host sometimes. That's actually where I met him. He was hosting one of the nights that I was headlining, so it was my chance to meet him and stuff. And so, and that's what he's doing. He's doing everything he's supposed to. He just needs time. I mean, it takes 10,000 hours to perfect anything.
I have a question. You don't have to answer this if you don't want to. It's nothing bad or nothing, but I just have a question about the logistics of how these things work out. So, do you have an agent? Like, do you have someone that does stuff, or?
I personally book myself.
Okay, so they call you, or do you initiate the calls to these places?
Well, it just depends. It depends on what word of mouth is, but a lot of times, where I would say the average comedian gets booked with, we ask about who do we know in that area, or who do we know that knows somebody in that area. Then we make the contact, and we'll say, I'm this comedian, I hear you booked this show.
Do you send them a sample?
Sometimes, depending on who it is.
Or they'll request one. They'll request for one, maybe.
Yeah, sometimes that'll happen too, but other times it's like maybe word of mouth, or if they've seen me or something like that. It really just depends. Like, sometimes I will take somebody, if I know the person who's vouching for them really well, I won't require a video. Because the one thing I have to realize is I don't want my particular sense of humor to judge who's coming through. I just wanted to be like, talk to another showrunner. Did he do well? Did your audience laugh? Okay, well then, it's great. It doesn't matter what I think is funny. What matters is my audience going to enjoy it?
Yeah.
So I feel like especially when you get festivals, you'll have all these people who are like shunning away good tapes because they are like, oh, well, this isn't edgy enough for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, what are your audiences? That's a big part of it too.
It's about what the fuck do they want, you know?
Yeah. So I like to go by reputation, because you could be really, really funny, and I might really enjoy your tape, and then I ask somebody who's from your area, hey, this guy's great, is he coming through? And they're like, that person's a jerk.
Yeah.
Or they get really, really drunk sometimes. Like, I have to, you know, it could be a whole thing. So reputation to me, I would rather have a pretty decent comedian who is nice and could maybe help people in my scene get booked in their scene,
mm-hmm.
whether it's open mics or shows, than a guy who's, I've had straight up headliners with that are like nationally touring famous people come through my area. Yeah. And they will, and then I have evidence that they like stole jokes from my locals.
Oh.
So it doesn't matter.
How often does that happen?
Does somebody steal, or do I have
No,
people?
I'm just saying, how often do you hear of stories like that?
You know, it really just depends. This particular person has a real big podcast that gets, and also travels all the time. So I've personally never been needed to find that much material before. And the local who actually, he heard his own joke on the podcast and was like, oh, that's upsetting. So I think it's because, and that's one of the downsides of this, the grind of trying to be all over everything, is you're constantly looking for material. And but I'm not going to ask that person back. Like, when they come to me next year and they're like, I'm coming through, I'm just going to be like, no, thank you, I appreciate it. Just go to another city on another night.
Yeah.
Because it's not worth it to me. I don't care if you do pack out my place. I don't want you interfering with the process of the art and my locals. And you see what I mean? And I think that's how you act and how you carry yourself is just as important as, if not more important than your material.
Yeah. So what's your schedule like? Like, how often do you tour? And, you know, and also I had another question on top of that. Do you see yourself, since we were talking about AGT earlier, do you see yourself submitting something for that, or going to, I know the comedian I talked to earlier obviously knew somebody like you do, but he was in Vegas. Do you see yourself going to maybe the Laugh Factory in Vegas, or branching out?
Well, I just had a kid, so I
yeah, true, true. Sorry. Yeah.
No, you're all good. So, but I do, I would say I
Oh, did. By the way, I didn't mean to cut you off, but congratulations.
Oh, yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it. I personally will probably hit anywhere from, like, 2 to 6 out-of-town shows a month, and then I run a monthly showcase as well for my normal gigs. I'll try to, you know, sometimes it's a slower month, and I've got, like, family obligations, so I don't book myself, but then again, in August, I was gone, like, 2 cities almost every weekend. So, like, so So it just really depends on what I'm doing. So I'll travel. I got a show the 25th and 26th this month of October for Dad Jokes, and things go on, I'll probably, but I usually book myself mostly through the summer and into the fall I normally travel.
But I know if NBC Universal hit you up, you wouldn't say no.
Well, so I have submitted to some NBC things. As far as America's Got Talent, what I think they're looking for versus what I bring to the table is not going to be the same. Also, I'm not ready for
that stage.
Let's say best case scenario, I like make it and I get a lot of gigs because of this. I have to take those gigs because I have to stay relevant, which means I have to be gone.
It's like a company too, you know, kind of an individual company, you know, if you make it.
Yeah, and I still have these kids, and they're real young. So I'm doing the Rodney Dangerfield route. I keep myself, when I'm in my 40s, when I'm like out there and I've got like 20 years of experience, I'm just going to, I'll go out when they're.
And the kids are, and the kids are more, you know, going in, you know, middle or whatever. Yeah, but.
I got a 9 and 7 year old now, which is why I've been traveling a lot more in the past couple of years. So but I still do travel. Still 2 to 6 out of town shows a month. And then my own show, so. And then you know, if it comes up, I might try and do TV. But I also do other things outside of comedy that focus on, like, voice acting and just trying to, like, get into regular auditions. Things that I can do locally, I think, is a big deal to me, too.
Yeah, man. Well, I don't have kids of my own, but I'm a sub on the side, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's interesting. I usually stick to, like, elementary and middle, but...
I thought about something, too, but it's easier to deal with your own people than other people's.
Yeah, well, you know, I equate it to, like, a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard that somewhere.
Yeah, it's the corniest joke from a random podcast. There you go.
Yeah, it worked out, though, man. But yeah, it's been a good journey, and I you know, it's not anything I'm ever gonna stop doing, which is real great. And I get to come back through places like Pensacola,
and go on random podcasts.
I love random podcasts, man. They're the best. I was just on another random podcast up in Georgia this other week. So
yeah. Well, the download ratio are probably the same. Probably not much.
15 to 20 people come
to
my show.
Hey, but stop!
You probably
live in Pensacola. Austin, stop showing our downloads. You know.
Hey, I'm one of those downloads. When I heard about this show,
I mean, which episode did you hear?
I was listening to you when you were talking. You were talking about comedians that you.
Yeah, my list. Yeah, just me.
Yeah, it was just you, and you were talking about, and you were, you called Jim Gaffigan Jeff Gaffigan.
Oh, did so, I? Oh, well.
Yeah. I figured because Gaffigan has so many F's, I figured it was close enough. So.
Yeah. I mean, don't criticize my podcasting skills too bad, bro.
No, I loved it a lot, man. It was that. I just thought it was silly. I gotta be careful with what I say.
Well, they're not going to listen anyways. But
yes, they will, man. Yes, they will.
No, but it's just a list, you know. Obviously, it was just a national list because I don't know the scene too well, you know. But you know,
No. I think it was all great, man. I was just making fun.
Did you stay for the end when I talked about my night as a comedian?
No, I didn't get the chance to listen to the.
I saved that for the end.
Alright, well, I'm gonna have to catch that.
Yeah, I was totally fucked up.
And yeah, it's a good experience.
Yeah, well, it was a funny story. I kept asking the guy running the bar. You know, it was a hole in the wall bar. Like it made like this bar was in Virginia. It makes Chizuko, or is that the name you say it? Look like a 5-star bar compared to this thing. This thing was like literally your living room.
Those are great. Those are the best.
And it's not around anymore for obvious reasons, and it was only popular because of the comedy night, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like shit-faced. And I know these guys, the people I listen to is like, I already heard this fucking story two weeks ago. Well, anyways, I'll cut to the end then. I ended up like telling him to keep pushing me back, you know? Such a pussy.
But, yeah, well, you know, it's the liquid courage. It kind of gets you. You know, I run an open mic after my show, so it's like the showcase, and then 15 minutes later, it's just a late night open mic.
It's
a good place.
Yeah, I'll stop now to prevent from spoilers, you know. No spoilers.
Yeah, I'm gonna catch that. But no, yeah, that's, I see that a lot though. You know, you want to get pushed back, you get the nerve. One of my one of the things, you know, even though I headline is closing out the show, is still nerve wracking. Every time I go on stage, I'm nervous. No matter how big the room, hole in the wall, big club.
Yeah,
it doesn't really matter to me. But like, I definitely am still gonna get nervous. So, but I love going first.
Yeah.
Even because I love to just be like, hey, I did it. I'm done. I can stop having anxiety. So I couldn't imagine. You know, because especially that first time, I definitely have had a couple of those experiences. I'm glad I wasn't that big into drinking when I started. I smoke a lot of weed. I used to get too high before I got on stage.
Well, I mean, who doesn't nowadays? I mean,
yeah, but, I'm medical. It's legal. Like,
I don't know if you're a sports guy, but. Are you a sports guy?
I know of sports. I know a little bit about sports. Yeah, man.
Okay, well, there was this, I don't want to call his name out, just, you know, infringement or whatever, but
yeah,
there was a guy that just came out, and I'll call it Mary Jane. He got a Mary Jane, I guess not possession, but a charge or whatever. You know, back in the day, they would have done, like, really bad. But like it was crazy. Like on the news, it's like this guy had marijuana. They'll think about giving him a slap on the wrist. I mean, shit. About 15 years ago, he would have been probably in jail.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's crazy.
A long way. I really like it. And you gotta be careful with sports because it's a performance enhancing drug. Some of my biggest, swollest people that I know, they smoke a lot of weed before they go work out.
Yeah. Before we get to the end, what's your thoughts on vaping? Did you catch the news about all the things going on with vaping? And
I did. You know, I actually, and I even, as a comedian, I am a Uber and Lyft driver. So I actually was driving around a heart and lung surgeon, and he was talking about vaping. And so there's no real underlying, but there's definitely something happening that is causing young people's lungs to mess up. I vape marijuana, but it's from like stores and not from like a dude I know.
right.
And so, but I definitely prefer flower because it's like a known evil because it's such a new thing. Who knows what's going to happen? So I would say that whatever my thoughts on it are, we should follow the science. Like if there's evidence to support that,
the shit's getting crazy out there, but the scientists are coming out with like, I guess it was 60 Minutes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Came out with a video that said like they were basically putting the vaping on like on rats or some shit, and it was like crazy results. But then there was a counter study saying that it was like nothing compared to regular nicotine, you know, regular cigarettes. So
yeah, see, that's the thing. It's like that's what I think is interesting. I also think it is a lot. Well, there has to be more studies, but there also has to be, you have to think, how much is somebody vaping? What products are they using? Are they like, do they have big contraptions with lots of oil and they're trying to do huge plumes, or is this coming from simple Juul usage? The other thing I think is going to be a big definer is the chemicals that put it. Do you remember there was this stuff going around about popcorn lung with certain vape products because of the flavoring? They were there was like a long time ago at this popcorn factory, they found out that the butter flavoring that they were using as the vapors went in were causing like these polyps on the workers' lungs. They call it popcorn lung.
Right.
And so what's been happening is some of those flavors, and some of, I would probably call them the cheaper, random, like, not like a sanctioned place, but just these random low budget, real cheap vape oils were using these flavorings, and people were getting popcorn lung because of it. And so now we're finding out that, of course, something is going into our lungs that is vapor versus dried smoke, which is, you know, which is a lot different in your thing, that it's clogging it more, you know, mm-hmm. whereas the tar was sticking to our lungs, it's recongealing into more of a liquidy thing in our lungs, which is causing all these respiratory issues and pneumonia.
Right.
And so there's definitely something. Am I somebody who's going to be like, you shouldn't vape? No, man, it's your body. If you want to go out to popcorn lung, that's your business, man. Go out.
Yeah, when these 14-year-old, 15-year-old people are starting to vape, like, in freshmen of high school, that's the problem. It's already filtered through the high school problems, and now, you know, high schools are shutting it down. Huh?
I have younger siblings who just recently graduated, and they say that you're right. 14, 15 high school kids all have vape pens, and so I think that's again becomes the issue. It's like kids don't have very much control over themselves.
I mean, yeah, you know, when I was in high school, all you had to really worry about was, you know, hotboxing. I mean, you know.
Oh, you gotta be careful with that hotboxing, man.
But I'm not saying I did it, Austin. I'm just saying.
Well, if you haven't, you should. It's pretty great.
No, I gotta cover my ass on our nationally syndicated 20-person per episode show.
I got you, man. I mean, if I got caught hotboxing, I think everyone would just get... I'd get props for it.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, before we close here, I just have a couple more things that I'd like to cover. What's the future of Austin, man? Like, where do you see yourself? I know you said you just had a kid and everything, and like I said, congratulations, but...
Well, I'm still always going to be doing stand-up. I've been also voice acting a lot. Recently, I've been creating, this is a little hush-hush, but we're creating a podcast of our own.
The 20 people are going to be interested now.
Well, this is only going to be specific for my area.
Okay, so this is a perfect plug then, because this is, you know.
Yeah, not competing with everybody. This is just a great, great, great resource for locals. Is what I think we're going to be using it for. But I also have, I just have all of these, just touring and being a dad and doing the voice acting and, you know, just staying busy. That's the future of Austin Hill. I'll be around, man. I'll always be around.
I'm just letting you know, man. Our second place of downloads is California. So, you know.
Hey, I got lots of friends out in L.A.
There could be some Californians. Yeah,
if you need a weed comic, California, we got about 15,000. If you need one from Florida, let me out.
Yeah, they're a big, LA, of course, is a big podcast area, so.
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure.
All right, man, well, we do a thing on our show. We actually haven't done this in a while, but we have a thing that we do sometimes. Since we're sensibly cynical, we do like a sensible or a cynical thought. Mm-hmm. So, like, do you have sensible would be like, do you have an advice for, like, comics? Or, you know, cynical would obviously be, like, you condemn something. You know what I'm saying? Like, so,
I gotcha.
Do you have anything that you would like to tell our audience of 20?
Yeah, okay. So, helpful stuff. Always be true to yourself. You know, always be true to what you think is funny. And the way you feel like you should say it. Listening to your audience is good if they're giving you a good response so you know what about what you were saying was funny when. But don't ever try to say what you think they want to hear is what I think is important. And then on the cynical side of that, don't be upset if you're not funny.
Right.
Because the point is you could try as much as you want to mimic other comedians, or you could try and change your style to either be more edgy or less edgy, depending on what you want to do. But if you're not being what you are and who you think you are and what you think is funny, you're not going to be able to sustain constant content and material, because you're going to be looking to write, is this funny for you? Is it funny for you? What if you don't like it? It should be, what's funny to you, man? And then go be yourself. And then if they laugh, then you know you're in the right spot. But if you're being your absolute self and you're not being laughed at, then you go, you know what? I can be myself somewhere else.
Right.
I can just be my funny friend. And that, I think that's important in not just comedy, but in anything. Like if you have a career and you're like, I'm doing this career because I think this is what I should be doing, or this is what other people are doing and this would please these people. And you're like, but I'm not being true to myself. Well, then go find that career that is going to be true to yourself, because at least you know, yeah, this is where I am. I am the most comfortable and most relaxed, and therefore I can be more free to come up with more ideas and better myself and my position. So, if that makes sense.
Yeah, man, it does. Do you have any social media you'd like to plug, or any appearances coming up?
So, real quick things, Austin Man Comedy on all things. A-Man Comedy on Instagram, Austin Man Comedy on Facebook. I will be in Boston, Georgia for the Boston Mini Marathon on the 25th of October this month. And then the 26th, I will be back in Pensacola, which I'm super excited to be, with Dad's Jokes. That's me, Jesse Schober, and Andrew Apple, and we're going to be at Casks and Flights. We love working with Emily Dillon, Olga Boinga from her old days. She actually just won Best Comic of the Coast, which I thought was real awesome for her. So we're really looking forward to that. Other than that, people just look me up on those to see future shows in their area.
All right, Austin, thank you for your time today.
Yeah, man, thank you.
All right, take care.
All right, man. Have a great day.
Yep, you too. Now it's time for my sensible thought. I would like to say thank you to Austin Mann for coming on the podcast today. I had a great time. It is great to hear from, you know, a comedian that grinds and made it big. So once again, thank you, Austin, for your time. Thank you to everyone for listening to this episode of Sensibly Cynical. If you could subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, it would be highly appreciated. Thank you. Stay tuned for our ad from A Teaspoon of Healing.
Hi, I'm Dawn Damari, host of A Teaspoon of Healing podcast. On my show, people share their healing journeys, and I chat with nutrition, wellness, and Reiki experts. You can find me on iTunes, Google Play, and wherever you get your podcasts, or go to my website, teaspoonofhealing.com.